Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on the Wednesday night out of the Planet FM studios in Auckland. Our delayed broadcast going out on Access Radio, Wellington, Kapiti Coast Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday night. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz, listening in New Zealand and indeed in other parts of the world. Welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And hope wherever you're listening tonight, whether it's in New Zealand or overseas, you can sit back and relax for the next hour and enjoy some good music. The latest news from Ireland, and obviously we're going to have another, look at the Lions Tour coming to the, you know, very crucial this weekend with the second test taking place in Wellington and the Lions 1-0 down. And we're going to have a chat to a regular contributor to the programme here, Brent Pope, former Otago rugby player who's lived in Ireland as long as I've lived in New Zealand almost. And Brent is down here with a group of Irish people taking in the matches, and we'll have a chat to him in a few minutes' time and talk to him about what it's like being back in New Zealand and what chances the Lions have in the second test. We always know that the All Blacks get better. Of course, a big weekend in Gaelic football in Ireland last weekend, and indeed next weekend, all the results and all the fixtures there, and more information as well over the next hour here on Ireland Calling. Up first, have we got Daniel O'Donnell. We'll have Daniel singing Whatever Happened to Old Fashioned Love.
The kind of love that my mom and daddy knew. We live in the modern age, where love is fast like a turning page in a magazine. We've hardly seen the friends we used to know. They disappear, they come and go, like the times we had. It's kinda sad. Whatever happened to old-fashioned love, the kind that would see you through, the kind of love that my mom and daddy knew. We say tomorrow we'll understand if it all should end and we're alone again. For now, the tenderness has been replaced by something less, and it's hard to find what we left behind. To old-fashioned love, the kind that would see you through, the kind of love that my mom and daddy knew. Oh, whatever happened to old-fashioned love, the kind that would last through the years, through the trials, through the smiles, through the tears.
Born and raised in Boston, a place you all know well. Brought up by honest parents, the truth to you I'll tell. Brought up by honest parents, and raised most tenderly, till I became a sporting lad at the age of 23. My character was taken
and I was sent to jail. My friends, they came and tried in vain to get me out on bail. The jury found me guilty, the clerk, he wrote it down. The judge passed the sentence, I was bound for Charlestown. They placed me on an eastbound train one cold December day. And every station we passed through, you could hear the people say, there goes the Boston burglar, in cold chains he's bound. For one crime or another, he is bound for Charlestown. All you have your freedom, take a warning if you can. And don't go round the streets at night, breaking laws of God and man. For if you do, you'll surely rue and find yourself like me, serving up full 20 years in the penitentiary.
Yes, well, that's Johnny McAvoy, and I think Johnny's still going, what do you call it, playing in cabarets and stuff all around Ireland, especially during the summer. He's singing the Boston Burglar. And before that, Daniel O'Donnell, who was here just a few months ago, and obviously back in Ireland and starting a big tour there during the summer months. We're going to have a bit of a look at the rugby now over the next few minutes, and every time there's a big rugby match on here, the Six Nations or World Cups, probably over the last 10, 15 years, we've linked up with a man in Blackrock and Dublin, former Otago player, and Brent Pope. And Brent is down in New Zealand with a group of people covering the tour here, and he was on the line there, but I've missed him, so I'll have to ring him back again in a minute and get him online. He was online, so we go with a bit of music, Score Naughty Simplicity, and then come back and have a chat to Brent.
See the child with the golden hair but eyes that show the emptiness inside. Do we know, can we understand just how he feels, or have we really tried? See him now as he stands alone and watches children play a children's game. Simple child, he looks almost like the others, yet they know he's not the same. Score not his simplicity, but rather try to love him all the more. Score not his simplicity, oh no. See him stare, not recognizing that kind face that only yesterday he loved.
Okay, well, we've got Brent back on the line here, and we'll take that song again from Jim McCann later on the programme tonight. Brent, you're very welcome to Ireland Calling.
Thanks very much. A home away from home.
Exactly. So, as I in the intro there, before I pressed the wrong button, I was saying we normally link up to you when there's big important matches involving Ireland. And I think the last time we had a chat was around the World Cup 2 years ago. And since then, Ireland have done well, beat the All Blacks. And there was 11 Irishmen on this team coming down here a few weeks ago. And some of them will probably have played their last game for the Lions ever last night. And you know, hopefully a few of them, or you know, a good few of them will feature over the next two tests. So let's look back at the tour to date. I heard you on RT Radio when the team was picked, and you were probably you didn't give the Lions much hope because you thought that they'd win the Barbarians match, but you said because it was such a tough tough tour that they would struggle against the Super Rugby teams and then the...
Yeah, they've probably done a little bit better in that sense than what I thought originally. Originally, I sort of was somewhat, I suppose, sceptical or negative in the sense that, you know, given the strength of the teams that they were to play, that there could be a possibility they could go into the first test and not win any matches apart from the Barbarians. And it started to go that way, of course, with the loss to the Blues, which were the worst performing franchise in the last year or so in that second game. But since then, they kind of pulled up their socks, and I think, you know, you'd have to say that they could have gone on the first test having won all those matches. Really, they came down to the wire, bit of a blip against the Blues in the last line-out where, you know, they got the line-out wrong against in that game to lose that. Then the game against the Highland beat the Crusaders well. That was probably their most impressive performance given the strength of the Crusaders that stage. Then could have beaten the Highlanders. But, yeah, I think the test, they were better than a lot of people thought. And when you look at the result and the scoreline, I think watching that game again, it kind of flattered the All Blacks. The Lions made a lot of... line breaks, and if they'd just been able to finish it off, I think the difference, Ollie, was in the skill set, you know. And I think I've said that all along, that, you know, that the Lions will make these breaks or whatever. They've done a lot of games, but they're just not as clinical. Once the All Blacks get into that kind of kill zone, they take the points. Whereas the Lions, you know, we looked at the first test, even in the first couple of minutes, you know, Connor Murray could have gone over, they could have gone over in the quarter, Daly could have got over, Liam Williams just missed an offload there in the second half. So there were opportunities, it's just that they didn't take them, and against the All Blacks, they're going to punish you. So I think they're kind of at the crossroads of this tour now. That draw last night, it was a game that they should have won. And then they were lucky in a sense to get away with a draw. So it's really, it's in the balance. I think Warren Gatlin, for more reasons than ones, really needs a finale in Auckland in a couple of weeks in the last test. And I think that, you know, he's really going to have to get a test win this Saturday. Otherwise, the tour will be probably deemed a failure at this stage if he doesn't get that.
Well, you look back to when the team was picked, you know, the 41 players, and Donal Linehan, former Lion and former Irish captain, he's written an article in the Irish Examiner today, and he said the striking thing about being not in the top 20 side is the fact that you've got to go off to corporate hospitality boxes and answer questions. And he just made reference to some of the players being escorted last week to various boxes because, you know, that's part of the deal. They're getting €83,000-€84,000 for coming down here. But he said, you know, from his point of view, you're picked on that squad, you want to be playing test match rugby, and that's the ultimate dream for all these guys, Brent.
Yeah, it's the ultimate dream, and I think that was a bit of the kick in the teeth for, I suppose, Lions players over the years that had come so close and be the pinnacle of their careers. And, you know, when they didn't take so many players, you know, years ago to wear the Lions jersey was the honour. And I think that was kind of devalued. And I agree with Donal and other writers from the Northern Hemisphere that said once Warren Gatlin, for whatever reasons, obviously the reasons Warren Gatlin's given, that geographically they were close from that. I don't buy that. You know, you've got players like, you know, the Irish players were only in Japan, the Scottish players were only in Australia, you know, England were only in Argentina, and a lot of the Super Rugby franchises have to make those trips every weekend. So I think that bringing in those Welsh players that were relatively unknown, I think that did a huge damage to kind of the morale of the whole squad. I know it hasn't filtered there because there's been a clear division now between the test side and the midweek side, and that's a bit unfortunate too. And I think, you know, looking from an Irish point of view, the likes of Robbie Henshaw, I suppose, Rory Best, Ian Henderson has probably got out of that group based on his performance and will force his way into the Test 23. I'd be surprised to see that he's not in there. But for someone like Robbie Henshaw, whose tour is now over, you know, it was disappointing to get a chance, I suppose, to play with the better players around him and chance to show what he could really do, because after about 2 weeks, you really saw the Test side being, you know, you saw the midweek side and then you saw the Test side probably picking itself pretty quickly. And, you know, I think that was something that happened too quickly. I don't think players really had a chance to force themselves onto the squad. It was kind of, it seemed to be pretty much the first test side was pretty much picked after the first game or two, and, you know, he stuck with it. I mean, that's probably going to have to change. Will it? It's hard to say. I mean, we're still waiting on the team selection, but, you know, I mean, you'd like to think that they're going to have to change things up to beat the All Blacks. And I think I was reading an article by Clive Woodward, or Sir Clive Woodward now, and he said, I think he was quite right. I think you've got to play the All Blacks at their own game. I think trying to go out there and dominate a set-piece game, it didn't work last time. Kicking too much, which didn't work in the last test. Or last night. I think that you've got to go out and kind of mix it up a bit, and I'd like to see a few changes in the selections. I think second row, I think Henderson or Itoje or even Courtney Laws come into that position. I think the back row needs to have a better balance, and the back line will probably pretty much stay the same, but I think in the forwards, if they're going to try to dominate in that key area, then he's got to make a few changes. Willie, it's hard to say. You know, Warren Gatland is usually that type of coach who doesn't make changes traditionally, but I think he's going to have to.
I suppose the other thing is that every word that comes out of your mouth when you come down here, it's dissected and bisected. And I know the excuse for the first game against the Barbarians performance was the jet lag and having to drive in brand new 150,000 Range Rover cars for 3 hours. Well, I drove the 3 hours as well, and you know, it wasn't in a Range Rover. So after the test last week, he pointed out an incident where Jerome Kino kind of laid tackle on Murray. Do you think he was justified there, Brent, or do you think?
Well, there's been a bit of a talk about, of course, in Ireland. This is not the first time that you know, I think Joe Schmidt or certainly they had a go at I think the Scottish players, and they're going after
Glasgow Murray's match, Munster,
steady leg. And what people don't realise that is when you're off balance the scrum half and you're box kicking, which is so much part of the game now. You know, that type of play, that when you're unstable on one leg, technically, if players go after your standing leg, it could prove to be, you know, damaging injury-wise. Look, you know, a lot has been said about it, and we were just talking to some today, and it'll be yesterday's, as you know, in New Zealand, it'll be yesterday's fish and chip paper before too long, but I think it's, I don't really think it's an argument that Warren Gatland is ever going to win over here, and I don't think it's something that he should have got into. You know, I think you should just let sleeping dogs lie. You've lost the first test. Just kind of, I suppose, suck it up and get on with the job of the focus of it. Look, it just adds more focus, and it also gives slight more motivation to the All Blacks. And I know that players, modern players, are professional, and I know that they don't read a lot of newspaper or don't take cognizance of what a lot of the media says, but sometimes coaches look for that little bit of an edge, and certainly, you know, Steve Hansen would have been using that week with the All Blacks. I know why they're saying this about us, fellas. Let's go out and put this to put them to the sword in the second test. So I just don't think it helps things, and I think it was a bit unnecessary. Kino's not that type of player. I wouldn't have said, and I think probably the way they look at it is they say, look, the All Blacks don't have to resort to those sorts of tactics. They are the best team in the world. You don't know what's going through an individual player's mind, but I'm pretty certain that Steve Hansen wouldn't be a sort of a coach that would say, look, this is part of the tactics.
Let's hope that there's no incident like that, you know, or any player getting injured like we had with O'Driscoll. Now, I suppose everybody said before this tour, no matter what happened in the warm-up games or the Super Rugby games, if you don't win the first test, the All Blacks are going to be tough. So put down your, what do you call it, unbiased glasses here now at the moment. You're back in your native country. Yeah. You played at a top level of rugby here. Do you give the Lions any chance, even if Gatland does make these changes, that you would like to see him making?
I think you're quite right. I think, you know, the thought was, you know, you catch your All Blacks when they're slightly underdone, other than when they've had a week or two to worse. You know, you look at players like Kieran, they'll be all the better for another week in training. A lot of the players have come straight out, apart from that Samoan game, came straight out of the Super Series and had to adapt to a different type of test match rugby under Steve Hansen. And that's a big change. People don't realise that, you know, you can come and play this kind of looser game in the Super 15, then come back to test match intensity that the Lions had put up to them. I think the Lions did enough in the first test to suggest that if they could put a few things right, then, you know, they can really test the All Blacks. And there wasn't a lot of difference, as I said before, and I'm going to repeat myself, but there wasn't a lot of difference in some of those aspects in a play. And if the Lions had have scored at those moments, vis-a-vis in the first couple of minutes to get off to a start, and more importantly in the second half when they had a bit of momentum, then that game could have been a different result. I'm not saying that they would have gone on to win, but it could have been a different last 10 minutes. So I think that, you know, if the Lions can get it right, and, you know, conditions would dictate that, okay, you don't want to say, but if it's windy and slightly wet or something, that plays into the Lions' hands, I think they'll be disappointed that they didn't squeeze, as the term Warren Gatland looks, they didn't squeeze the All Blacks enough, because they'd certainly showed against the Crusaders and, you know, against the Chiefs and these other sides, even against the Maoris, that they have an ability in the tight five to squeeze teams. So I think that if they go back to that type of game, it'll depend again on who gets the out-half berth. Will he go with Sexton? Will he stick with Farrell? Farrell didn't have a particularly great game in the first test, I think, so Sexton could come in there. I was impressed with Bigger the other night, but I don't think he will have done enough to force himself into that situation, and he took a bit of a knock. But, yeah, I think, look, I think that they definitely have the ability to win this match. It's backs against the corner, and that's sometimes when these players play the best. You know, I think there were certain performances out of Teo and Davies and Liam Williams at fullback to suggest that if they get enough ball up front, then, yeah, they can win it. Will they win it? I don't think so. I think it'll be close enough, but I just think that the All Blacks will know that they don't really want to go to a situation in Auckland where anything can happen. They'll want to finish it this week and then let the last weekend be a sort of a situation where they can play a few more players and a bit more. I think Steve Hansen wants the series under his belt this week, and that'll be the focus of the All Blacks. I think the All Blacks will be certainly favourites to win.
Well, the season, Brent, it's so long. I heard Bernard Jackman being interviewed on Game On program last week, and he was unveiled as the new Dragons coach this week. And players are starting pre-season training next week. In fact, this week. So, somebody wrote an opinion piece today that said Ulster played their first competitive game about the 2nd of August last year. You know, it's a long, long season for these players, and even though they are getting well paid, it's still very tough, demanding on the body to have to come down here for 6 weeks. And even though they're flying up the front of the plane and staying in 5-star hotels, it's tough.
Well, it's tough, and I mean, you've got to think, Ollie, in the long term. You know, I've called this the last great tour because I really have doubts about the future of the Lions franchise. Yes, great for the supporters, certainly great for the New Zealand economy, and you saw all the bars full in Wellington as they were in Auckland. It's worth millions to the economy, you know, but I think that the situation is that, you know, you're quite right. And if you look at the club owners, especially in France, if you look what's happened over there and you look what's happening in England now when these multimillionaires take over the clubs, you know, they have a right to protect their players. You know, I mean, they're not particularly worried about whether the Lions go and win a series. That's for the individuals. And in the olden days when you could go off and then come back and have a holiday, it's quite right. So if you've got a player like Billy Bonapola or something who's key to Saracens and he gets injured, you can imagine the club owner saying, hey, look, I don't really want you going out on a Lions tour and getting beaten up in New Zealand and maybe coming back injured, not being available for us for half the premiership. Mm. So we pay your wages and we want you to take, you know, the summer months off. So I wonder how long, despite the money that goes into the Lions in the preparation, the players are being played, you're right, you know, 80,000 or something for that. Despite all that, I wonder about the longevity of Lions tours, and you're looking at another 12 years before they would come back to New Zealand. You know, is it viable? Is it viable that these players, you're right, can play the whole year round, year in, year out, and also with the money situations and the club owners and all that professional rugby changing? So, you know, it would have been really great for the Lions to win this series. I'm not just saying that against the All Blacks, obviously, but I mean for the franchise, it would have been great. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that'll come to pass. I just wonder about how long it will be before the club owners start flexing a bit more muscle as to who is selected and who is not. And I think we've already seen a bit of that this year, and I think that that's just going to get stronger and stronger. Unless professional rugby changes.
Probably not. Now, yourself coming back, it must be nice to come back, and you're part, you've got a number of people that's coming back here with you and touring and stuff. You've been here for over a week. Are they enjoying New Zealand? I think the weather has been fairly okay, a bit cold, but are people enjoying it? Because it's a great country, as you know, but probably nicer in the summer than the winter, you know, to travel.
I tell you what, the word coming back from all the people we've got over, and we've got Canadians, we've got a couple from Holland, we've got Welsh, Irish and Scottish, of course, a couple of Americans and that. So the word coming back is just how friendly the New Zealanders have been. And that kind of makes me proud. You're coming the other way. You know, you're coming from Ireland, somebody that's gone over and lived over here for so many years. I'm the other way. I've gone back from New Zealand to Ireland. But you're proud when the word comes back that people are coming up to me and saying, my God, people have just been so friendly. Like, people can't do enough stopping and, you know, if they're looking for directions and, you know, people pulling up and saying, look, you know, do you want to, you know, you do need a bed for the night. You know, the stories come back to me every day about the generosity of New Zealand people and how much they've appreciated the Lions being here and how much they've appreciated them going into coffee shops. And you pull into places like Levin or Palmerston North or these little places, and the coffee shops are only delighted to welcome three or four busloads of people in, and can't do enough in that for, you know, giving advice of what to see and what to do. So that's the feeling. I mean, from everybody on this tour, everybody said, look, the New Zealanders have been so, you know, have been so gracious, you know, not necessarily at the matches, because you're gonna sit in front, and it's always a bit difficult for me because I'll be sitting with all the supporters and I'll have the Kiwi supporters behind me, and they certainly let it known verbally, you know, who they're supporting. But they've been great as well, and they've been very gracious when, you know, when the Lions have scored a try, and they've, you know, they may have been screaming, you know, the sort of obscenities, and that 2 minutes later, and then a minute later, they turn around and say, oh, no, that was a good try or something. So, look, they've loved it. They've loved the country. The weather has been surprisingly mild, especially in Wellington, and they're really enjoying the city because they can walk around. There's a few more days, and we watch the match and Saturday, and then we're off to Queenstown for a few days and then back up to Auckland. So, look, people have ball. It's been the best advertisement for people wanting to come back. We've already got a lot of people on the tour saying, look, they would come back for holidays and that outside of the rugby season. And so New Zealand is...
Oh, yeah, well, you could come back for the America's Cup. What a great week to be here when New Zealand has, you know, with the smell of an oily rag, brought back the America's Cup from Bermuda, and that's been good. I know the publicity in Auckland today has been massive, probably more so than Wellington, but it just shows. I was listening to the boys in the Game On this morning. I listened to it early in the morning, and they were just talking about, you know, how much, you know, the country revolves around rugby. But what people in Ireland are failing to, New Zealand box above its weight. It won 19 medals at the Olympics last year. We've got a world heavyweight boxing champion. I'm not sure what IB or OWB it is, but he's got a belt anyways. You know, they were wondering what we do. We've got a number of good golfers over the years, like Ireland has. We cricket is strong and stuff. Like, rugby is still strong, but it's waning off in Auckland. You look, it's 2003 since the Blues last won a Super Rugby title. But you know, you look at a family like the Barretts, and I've met some of their neighbours on the Lions tour, and what a wonderful family. The only thing a few Irish people said to me, how come they didn't stay in Meath when they were over there about 98? You know, we could have the three of them playing for Ireland, but that's a different story.
I mean, you're quite right. I mean, people often, but I mean, what people see is when they come to New Zealand, as you've seen yourself, having come over here, that, you know, the lifestyle is different to Ireland, and, you know, there's so much more importance put in, you know, young people getting out on the weekend, and whether it's skiing or whether it's surfing or whether it's riding horses or whatever, there's more of that atmosphere for young people to go out and play different sports and multi-sports. And I think that's the one big difference between sort of Irish society or sporting society and New Zealand, and that, you know, young people are really encouraged all the time to you know, sport plays such an important part of New Zealanders' lives, and it's becoming more important than in Ireland now. But I mean, you know, it's not something that has always been the way. You know, it's always been sort of, okay, well, you know, go out and have a few drinks and enjoy the crack and stuff like that, and then, you know, because I mean, when I first went over there, the attitude to training or the attitude to gyms and stuff like that, there wasn't really any. You couldn't go to a gym in Dublin because there wasn't any really around in 1990s. Like, you'd have over here, you'd have Les Mills, and you'd have people training, and also the fact is, you know, I was often told by captains, you know, don't be training so hard, you're showing us up. You know, that attitude has changed, and the likes of Roy Keane and Sonia O'Sullivan and, you know, Conor McGregor, and even nowadays, these guys have really taken on board that they're not there just to make up the numbers. But that's been a long time coming, as you know, and it's been part of the culture. But, you know, New Zealand has always been an outdoors culture, and it's always been somebody getting out and on the water and that. And even though Ireland's, you know, done well on the sailing as well, it's a slower transition for the Irish than it is for New Zealand.
We haven't had a gay prime minister here yet, but you never know what might happen in the future.
Over here too, you
it
know?
Is.
I mean,
it
people
is,
are
yeah.
saying that's great, and you know, a lot of people are mentioning that actually in New Zealand to me. you know, so that's that news has travelled very strongly.
And Dublin, I know you were there for the boom, and then there was a burst. But does Dublin is booming again? I hear restaurants, it's every week is just boom time in Dublin. There's something over 65, 70 cranes operating in the skyline in Dublin now. So booming again over there, Brent.
Yeah, booming again. You know, I mean, it is the worry for Auckland and Wellington. It is the worry for me, because you do see, you know yourself, you know, you're back in Ireland regularly. You do see similar patterns in the Auckland property market now that is overheated. And, you know, I just say to people, look, just be warned. You know, the Irish have gone through that. I mean, we never thought we'd see the day where suddenly house prices would drop 60-70% in a year or two, but it happened. And, you know, yes, there's been a recovery now. There's still probably a thought that, you know, Dublin is recovering and the others are following suit, Cork and Limerick. But, I mean, you know, the rural island is struggling.
It is, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, business has gone. I mean, even talking from a GA perspective, of all the players now coming up to Dublin to get jobs, and the days of the farmers being able to go down and have a few pints, and you drive past these ghost estates, and you drive past these once big fancy bars and that, where people go down and have their carvery and a few pints, and that is long gone. So, you know, rural Ireland is struggling. But I mean, there's buoyancy back especially in the Dublin market, and the property scene are going up again. But it's also, as you know yourself, like New Zealand, it's also forced a lot of young immigration. It's forced young people to say, look, I've got to rent now for the rest of life. You can't buy a place in Dublin anywhere in a decent commuter belt for probably less than €300,000 or €400,000 at the very least. And that's not getting you much in Dublin especially. So, I mean, people are finding it expensive to live, in a sense that rents are too high. So they've got to look at all those things. But, yes, the economy is back to a certain degree. But also people are treading on thin ice. You know, they don't know, they're not saying, look, let's not get carried away, it's happened before, these things are cyclical, as you know, and it could happen again.
And then that our nearest neighbour and biggest trading partner, Britain, you know, leaving Europe, there's there for people that's dealing with
absolutely.
Britain.
And, so. You know, I'm in the retail trade myself now, and even that, you know, to talk about...
Tell me a bit about, are your shirts available online? You have shirts and shoes now?
Available online. Yeah, we've got a lot of the people out. I've got shoes now, so
yeah.
PopeShoes.com or Pope Shirts or something. So, yeah, no, it's another... As you know, RT, unfortunately, we lose the rugby. I've been doing the television year in for 23 years, and first started there in RT so many years ago, and we now pass over the rights to TV3 next year for the Six Nations, and so, you know, it's a changing time for me as well, and it's been part of my life, and I've loved it, but you've got to move with the times. I don't know whether I'll get gigs with other stations or not, because there's only, you know, you can either watch it on Sky or TV3, and so, look, you know, times have changed, so I had to do something different. So I branched into the fashion world and doing a bit of writing and doing other things, back studying at university.
Oh,
so
good,
look,
man, Brent. Yeah, and it must be lovely for you to come home to you with your brother tonight and go down to visit to your mum and dad. And obviously, you know, when you're in Queenstown, you'll be bumping into people that you played rugby with in the 80s before you headed off.
Well, that's the lovely thing. I was walking when I got off the plane on Friday there, I was walking down the road and... it was Andy Earle and Graham Bashup, and they saw me over the street, and we had a good chat, and then I met up with Frano Bodica and a few of those guys at night, and stay with my brother and Petoni and that tonight, so, and then go and see Mum and Dad. So, yeah, look, it's part of my culture and DNA, as you know yourself. Don't leave home till you see the country. And, you know, I'm delighted. I'm very proud when I'm back in New Zealand. I mean, I've been in half my life in Ireland nearly, so I'm sort of proud to sort of, I suppose, be a foot in both camps.
I know, yeah. You're same as me. I love going home.
Same
but it was
you,
great
yeah.
when I was down in Dunedin there for the game. You know, I'm very proud to say that I know you, and I met so many of your former players, and you're well-liked down there. And, you know, the great thing is you can come back and you can mix and meet with these people.
Lovely. Same as when you come over to Ireland. I mean, you know, we always meet up for a pint, and it's great to be back and see what's going on. It's not that far now with the internet and Skype and everything. It's a smaller world. But, I mean, you know, as much as you're proud to be and live in New Zealand, I'm the same, and the other way around. So it's fascinating even that we're chatting and, you know, do completely different lives on opposite directions, but still still keep in touch with both what's happening in Ireland and for me in New Zealand. So it's fantastic.
Great to talk to you, Brent. And let's hope that, you know, Warren Ball or whatever other ball this weekend.
But I can only mean it sort of half. Half good luck, Ollie.
Go away on that. All right, that was Brent Pope there talking to us from Wellington down here for a few weeks with leading a couple of tours of people from a League of Nations and looking forward to the game next weekend. Here's Dolores Keane.
Even on the deepest ocean, you will be the light. You may not always shine as you go, barefoot of the storm. You might be so long together, or you might walk alone, and you won't find that love comes easy, but that love is always right. So even when the dark clouds gather, you heart inside, when love turns round on you, leaving the past behind, it's knowing you'll do like you always do, holding you blind, keeping you true. Never be the sun turning in the sky, and you won't be the moon above us on the moonlit night, and you won't be the star. Even on the deepest ocean, you will be the light. You will be the light. You will be the light.
Yes, the wonderful voice there, Dolores Keane, and a lovely song called Never Be the Sun. And before that, we had a chat to Brent Pope back here for the Lions tour. And great to catch up with Brent and get his views on all things rugby and about what it's like in Ireland. And obviously, like everybody else, he thinks that the All Blacks will be too strong for the Lions this weekend. But we'll just have to wait and see. You never know. I remember a few years ago, Ireland were well beaten in the first test that went to Christchurch and could have won that. A drop goal by Dan Cart in the last minute won it for the All Blacks. We'll just have to wait and see. It'd be good for the series if it ended up 1-1, but I still think the All Blacks will win. Now, President Trump rang Leo Varadkar yesterday. He was left, took about 90 seconds for the call to go through, but he rang him and congratulated him on a great victory. Not sure whether Trump thought he just won a general election, but part of his interview was recorded live on RTE, and he brought in Katrina Perry, and he put her on the phone to say hello to Varadkar as well. So they had a bit of a chat, and he's invited him to the White House on St. Patrick's Day next year. Let's hope Varadkar is still there by the time St. Patrick's Day comes around next year, because there's certainly turbulent times with the government. Still huge fallout over the appointment of Marie Whelan to the Supreme Court. The last act by the outgoing Taoiseach in the Kenny, and now there's a bill trying to be pushed through the Dáil so that there's a different way of appointing judges, and the hierarchy or the judiciary are saying that this could lead to bad judges being appointed in the future. So lots of things to worry about there. We talked to Brent there about how things was in Ireland, and he says Dublin is going well, but he said the boom is certainly not going through to the rest of the country. And I see here where 1 million people in Ireland struggle to make ends meet, according to a survey published today. These people are aged between 35 and 55, are mostly financially stressed, and they're most pessimistic about their future. So certainly some people are doing well and some people struggling. All right, let's take some more music, and then I'll come back and run through the main GA results and the upcoming fixtures from last weekend. And we have Kieran Goss here. Take a look at my heart.
Thought that I knew I only ever see what you choose to show. Once the fool for believing the words you said you'd never go. Take a look at my heart, see how it's breaking. Why I'm the loser, losing everything that I thought I'd win. Now I know, know all the reasons. The reasons don't lessen the hurt hiding within. Take a look at my heart, see how it's breaking inside. Take a look at this smile, building wounds it can't hide. Take a look at these eyes, there's a window to the mind. Take a look at my heart, see how it's breaking. What was I thinking? What was I thinking of? What was I thinking of? Let you go. Let you go. Healing everything that's out of control. I believe what you're saying. Believe in my mind, but doubt in deep in my soul. Take a look at my. Breaking inside.
Yes, Kieran Goss, haven't heard from him for a while, former guest on the programme here on a number of occasions, and tour down here with his band, of course, as part of the Guinness Celebration of Music in the early 90s. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you in support of the Hugh Green Group, and a big weekend last weekend, and even bigger one this weekend for Gaelic Games, and big results last weekend. First of all, in the Ulster Championship, you had Down. They were up against Monaghan. Nobody gave Down a chance of even getting past the first round of the Championship this year, not alone making it to the Ulster final. Well, they overcame Monaghan, one goal and 14 points to Monaghan's 15 points. So they take on Tyrone in the Ulster final on the 16th of July. In Connacht, of course, the Connacht football final between Gaul and Roscommon, that takes place on Sunday week. And the Leinster Football Championship, Dublin, current All-Ireland champions, heading for three in a row this year. They were just too strong, four goals and 29 points to 10 points for Westmeath. Poor old Westmeath have to come out now and play a qualifier match next weekend. And so it's Dublin against Kildare on the 16th of July in Croke Park. The Munster football final, that's on this weekend, and that's Cork against Kerry, that game being played in Killarney. The other big championship on this weekend is the hurling Leinster Championship final between Galway and Wexford. So Davy Fitzgerald, I think, is still in the stands after his ban, after coming out onto the pitch a few weeks ago. So he'll be hoping that Galway won't be too good for Wexford, but Galway would go into that game favourites. And the other round of qualifiers on the football games this weekend, you've got Meath against Sligo, Mayo against Derry, Donegal against Longford, and Laois against Clare. And the GAA would be happy that Kilkenny weren't drawn against Tipperary in the qualifying match. They've drawn Limerick, and that game's been played in Kilkenny. And Westmeath, I think, take on Dublin. And Waterford take on Westmeath, and Dublin take on Laois in the qualifying matches. So a lot of action. And of course, if you want to watch the Gaelic games, you can watch a single game or watch the whole season. Go to gaago.ie. Now, the Irish club had a great night there last Saturday night, before and after the Test match, and during the Test match they got the big screen there, and food and drink, and then a band afterwards. So they're repeating the event again this Saturday night, even though the match is in Wellington. They've got the big screen, so they'd like to welcome everybody along. Come along and bring your friends on Saturday night, and get there early, and you can have a meal beforehand, and enjoy watching the game on the big screen. And then there'll be live music afterwards, and there'll be huge before and after party before the final Test between the Lions and the All Blacks next weekend. All right, let's press another button here and see what we've got lined up. And this is Riverdance. Well, we know we'll go with Clonard and Paul Young, both sides now.
Feather canyons everywhere.
Yes, one of my favourite songs there, Both Sides Now, and I like to think that this programme does bring Both Sides Now, bring you have a bit of Ireland here and a bit of New Zealand, and wherever you're listening tonight, whether it's in New Zealand or in Ireland or Australia or America or anywhere else in between, I hope you're enjoying the programme. Ireland Calling brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And while that song was on there, I was just reading the story about the President Trump's discussion or 15 minutes chat with Leo Varadkar yesterday. And while the press were invited in to film the phone conversation, he invited Katrina Perry over to say hello to the Taoiseach, and the Taoiseach asked Mr. Trump to thank Katrina for the papers, and she said that she sent copies of the Washington Post and the New York Times back to him after he was elected Taoiseach a few weeks ago. So it was, there was a nice bit of fun there, and a nice picture of Katrina Perry in the Oval Office there with President Donald Trump. And I'm sure Leo Varadkar will be looking forward to heading over there next year on St. Patrick's Day, and then marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade. And he took part in the huge big GBIT parade that took place in Dublin at the weekend. Beautiful weather, and he was there with his partner, and of course you know, he's getting lots of publicity as a Taoiseach, and there's obviously the odd story as well, you know, going around the fact that he's you know, a gay man, and he has you know, brought a lot of publicity, all good, to that community, not alone in Ireland but other parts of the world as well. Alright, let's take another bit of music, and then I'll come back and wrap up for another week. And we'll see what we got here. Danny Boy, by Danny Boy himself.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen. Must go, and I must buy. But call me back when summer's in the meadow, or when the vast and white with snow.
Yes, Daniel O'Donnell there singing his version of Danny Boy, and that's bringing us to the end of another edition of Ireland Calling. Thanks to the Hugh Green Group and thanks to Brent Pope for joining us on the programme tonight. I hope you've enjoyed the programme, and if you listen to us in Wellington and Christchurch on Saturday night, you might have an ear to this and an eye to the television. Let's hope that the Lions and especially all the Irish lads that are playing are having a good game. Okay, thank you. I'll be back again next week. Good night, goodbye and God bless.